Good morning, church. Hope you had a good week. Hope everything has been smooth and taken care of, even though we have still been in shutdown, to say the least. I just pray that you're keeping your courage up, and every time I call one of you or a few of you, it's always encouraging to listen to you and to hear how things are going. Our title of our talk this morning is called The Birth, and we're going to take a look at the passage of Matthew 24, 7 through 8. But before we begin, our conference president, the Oregon Conference, Dan Lindrad, has asked us to play a short video of a presentation he's made to let you know how things are moving along. So let's take just a few moments and take a look at his message. Around and see if I can get hold tight. I am really sorry. I think we lost the message. We'll get it to you. If not sooner, at least by next week. And basically, the message basically states that, you know, because of the crisis that we're facing, and the people are out of work, and the tithe is going down, we as a conference need to make some adjustments. And the adjustments are simple. There's actually four steps, but there's only one step that we're taking at this time. And that is we have to, the Oregon Conference has to cut back on personnel, which includes personnel in the conference office and also in the field, which means some pastors will be setting aside, and then some districts will have added churches to them. I don't want you to feel threatened or excited. Depends on whether you want to keep me or go, because right now we really don't know who is going to be moved and who's not going to be moved. But I do believe with all my heart that we just need to trust God and know that whatever happens, He is in charge. And right now, I'm not too concerned, but whatever any changes they make, we'll just go with it and make sure that His name is praised. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for this church. I thank you for the people that represent Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church. I thank you for their love. I thank you for their steadfastness. I thank you for their constant connection with one another and with you. And I pray, Father God, that you will just bless each and every one of us in a special way. Help us never let go. Help us not to be discouraged, but help us to keep the faith, because this too will come to an end. We thank you and we praise your name for your continuous watch and care over each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the birth. Matthew 24, 7 through 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of birth pains. So that's why I call it the birth. Birth pain. You know, if you have birth pains, sooner or later there's going to be a birth, right? Yes. I got to share a few stories with you. This is a picture of my beautiful wife and myself. I hope you can see it. She was 3 weeks before the delivery of our first baby. And we've been married for 3 years, and we waited, and now it was time for our first child. Very interesting, as a young Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I was very peculiar and very conservative, and anything you want to call it. I wanted to make sure that my wife had the proper care, and we lived in Quincy, California, and so I wanted to make sure my wife had the best, and so we contacted a Seventh-day Adventist physician, and the closest one was Carson City, Nevada, almost 2 hours drive, hour and a half drive to Carson City, Nevada, and so that's where we went. And of course, Dr. Stewart was his name. He's deceased at this time. But at that time, he was a wonderful Christian. Matter of fact, Dr. Stewart had a lot to do with me going into the ministry. And he told us, he says, being this is your first child, I'm okay with this. If it's your second child, he says, then I would say no. He says, because after the first one takes a while before it's delivered, but the second ones and third ones, they come pretty fast. He says, but an hour and a half, I think you'll be okay. And so we went along with that. And I can remember going and seeing him once a month, then once every 2 weeks, then once a week. And the nurses, they did not like us coming. They were always frustrated when Ruth and I showed up. And the reason why is because the doctor would take us in the room, and he'd examine Ruth, and I always go in my with my wife and the doctor, and she always goes in when I go to the doctor. And anyway, he would examine her, and then he'd sit down, and for the next 30 to 45 minutes, he would talk to me about why I should go into ministry. And we would talk back and forth. And I was in engineering. I was a surveyor and a designer, and I loved my work. And he'd say things like, can you really see yourself when you get old out there pounding stakes in the ground and sub temperatures? And he would try every angle he can. And he was a huge influence, not only on wanting me to go into ministry, but actually opening the door so I could go to the ministry. He never charged us a penny, by the way, for the deliverance of our baby. So 3 weeks, here we are, 3 weeks before delivery. And middle of the night, my wife wakes me up. I'll never forget it. She says, it's time to go. I says, okay, man. I jumped up and I got dressed as quick as I could and got in a car, and off to Carson City we headed. And as we're heading there, I had to be careful of bumps. She didn't like bumps for some reason. And we got there, and he examined her, and, well, we're not quite ready. They didn't go to the hospital yet. And so we went to her aunt and uncle's place that lived in Carson City, and we stayed there for a few hours. And the contractions kept getting worse and worse and getting closer and closer. And finally, they were close enough, and she said, we got to get to the hospital. So we went to the hospital. Now, in those days, the husband was not allowed in the delivery room. Today they are. But in those days, they weren't allowed in the delivery room. But she went into the prep room, and they allowed me to go in the prep room, and then they asked me to leave while they prepped her, and then they asked me to come back. Well, during this time, I come back. The nurse says to me, now, Dawn, when she goes into a labor pain, you put your hands in the middle of her back and lift her back up, and this will help so the pain is not so intense. And so every time she'd go into contraction, I would get in there, and this was happening, and... And I hope you can handle this. But, you know, during this process, as the contractions got closer and closer, pretty soon her water broke. Yeah. And I turned to the nurse, and I said, I think her water broke. And I said, oh. So they rushed her into the delivery room, and I'm standing there holding my hands. And she says, now you need to get out of here. You need to get back out. In the hallway. And I said, can I wash my hands? You know, and she, They said, oh, yes, yes, go. And so she took me over into a room just off the living room and a big bay window, you know, big bay window. And I got to wash my hands there. That's where they did the scrubbing before they went into the living room. And I'm looking at this bay window, man. I'm just all eyes and I'm looking at it. And the nurse says, sir, you need to get out of here. You've got to go in. So I dried my hands off and went into the room. Wow. I'll come back and tell you a little more, but this was unreal. So anyway, our oldest boy, our firstborn, was born. And there's proud daddy standing there looking at his firstborn child. Very proud I was. It was an exciting day. I'll tell you, when the birth of my first child, the birth of all my children, were actually exciting, joyous days. There were days of celebration. It was just something special, you know. Our firstborn, we waited 9 months for this, actually 3 years and 9 months or something like that. Anyway, our firstborn, but those contractions, oh my, that never, ever left my mind. I cannot believe the pain of contractions. I didn't feel them, but I saw somebody who did. And you know, can I be really honest with you? If I could deliver a baby, we'd only have one. Only one. I would only handle that one time, and that'd be it. Matter of fact, even at the beginning of our marriage, I told my wife, I says, I only want one kid. That's all I want. And my wife says, no, three. And so we compromised, and we got three. Yeah. Anyway, those contractions, one of the things I have to share with you is that before this all took place, Ruth and I were struggling on what to name this first child. And we searched everywhere, and we came up with the name Timothy. Now, some of you know Tim. And, yeah. And then the last name was not a problem. But the middle name was. We could not come up with a middle name. She had the name she wanted. I had the name I wanted. And we stood deadlock. Deadlock. After the delivery, I walked in to see my wife and her holding little Tim. And I looked there and I says, anybody that would put up with that much pain can name their child anything they want. That's all there is to it. I tell you, you know, and I heard, and I probably shouldn't share this, but I've heard that there's an old Jewish saying, thank God I'm not a woman. I don't know how a woman puts up all this pain, and then are excited and happy to hold the baby. I mean, that baby just caused a tremendous amount of pain. And they're excited to hold that baby. It's beyond my comprehension. And then they want more. Okay. That's the way it goes. So, mom out there, all you moms, God bless you. You have a role to play. And I just pray that God will continue blessing you for what you have done and for what you may do, you younger ones. So blessings to each one of you. Well, Tim was growing up, and here's a picture of when he's a little bit older, trying to fit into dad's shoes and his boots and trying to be all he could be. And he's always been that way. He's tried to put himself out and always wants to please his parents and do what he can. Well, what about us? What about us? Aren't we the same way? Aren't we always striving and moving towards trying to please God? You know, he has basically bought us back. The price he had to pay on that cross, the pain he had to give in order that we could be his children. Wow, it's incredible. It's incredible. By now, you probably suspect that I don't like pain. And I really don't. I can do anything you want to me, but don't hurt me. I don't like pain. And yet, because of Jesus' love for us, the pain he went through, a pain beyond what we'll never comprehend, those of us accept Jesus, in order to have us be his children. And as his children, because of what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us, we want to do the best we can to please him. We want to move forward in life and be everything he wants us to be. And what we're waiting for now is his second coming. We're waiting for him. He's promised he's coming back, and we're waiting for that. And so as we read that scripture, it's very interesting to me. You know, we're going through this huge pestilence right now, and it's just a birth pain. It's just a birth pain, and the pains are going to get more intense. Believe you me, they're going to get more intense until the day of the birth, the day that Jesus comes. COVID-19 crisis has shut down America. We know that. We've all been in isolations. We're locked down in our homes. Others are shopping for us, for some of us older people. Well, will we ever get back to normal? Oh, we'll get to what normal is, but normal may be different than what we've had in the past. I don't know. You know, will we be able to meet together as a congregation again? And what will it be like the first few times? Because I'm sure there'll be guidelines on what we can do and what we can't do. But this is all part of the birth pains. There's a lot of uncertainty. I've heard that Washington has extended the deadline now from May 15th to the end of May before churches go back. I don't know what Oregon's going to do yet. We haven't heard. I think that the conference has heard something, and they're trying to go through it very carefully and see what we can do, what we can't do. But things are uncertain right now. Things are uncertain during this time. But we have the assurance, friends, we have the assurance that God is going to be with us through this whole thing. That's what he's promised. He's promised to be with us through any pain we experience during this birthing time, during this time of birth pains. Last Sabbath, we learned that how angels are constantly ministering to us, constantly, fighting in our behalf, protecting us, always available, moment by moment. Going back to scriptures in Matthew 24, the disciples were walking along with Jesus, and they're walking by the temple, and they look at the temple, and it's a beautiful temple. You know, this temple, designed by God originally, was their pride and joy. That's their pride and joy. And the disciples are looking at it and talking about it and kind of pointing it to Jesus. And, of course, Jesus, he says, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Can you imagine what that did to the disciples? Stop and think about that. This was the Hebrews' pride and joy. This was what God had given them. This is where they worshiped God. And Jesus is going to be all ruins. Wow, they didn't expect that. Matter of fact, I think it was so shocking. You notice that they said nothing after that. Nothing. Until they got later to the Mount of Olives. And when they got to the Mount of Olives, the disciples asked Jesus, when will these things be? When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? Now that's interesting. What will be the sign of your coming? What, and the end of this age? Now you got to remember, the disciples' thinking was different than ours. They didn't quite understand the scriptures the way we do now today. They thought that Jesus was going to come, set up a new kingdom, throw out the Romans, and then the kingdom of God would be there and the temple and everything. But that wasn't what Jesus was saying. But that's what the disciples were interpreting at that time. When are you going to come and make us a nation again? When are you going to come and take away all these Romans? When are you going to come and set up your kingdom here? When's that going to take place? He answers them. He answers them. False Christs, wars and rumors of wars. But don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. The end's not yet. Nations will rise against nations. Famines, pestilences like we're going through right now. Earthquakes. These are the, notice, scriptures, these are the beginning of birth pains. Just the beginning. So where are we right now? Now these birth pains continue on. Where are we in the sequence of birth pains? As they get closer and closer to his coming, the closer together will be birth pains. The more we'll see, the more will happen, which has happened in our past, and the more intense it's going to get. There will be persecution and death, he says. People will hate one another. Many will turn away from the faith. Many will betray one another and hate one another. There will be false prophets deceiving many. Wickedness will increase. Love will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now listen to those words. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. Hold tight, friends. Don't let these birth pangs shake your faith. Hold tight. Stay true to Jesus because he's promised, stay true to me, you will be saved. And he says, in this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world. And that's where we are now. Around the world, we're preaching this gospel. And then the end will come. You see, all this turmoil is nothing. Just wait until the birth pains get really tense. Just wait till they get tense. Revelation 7, 1 to 3. After these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, one on the sea or on any tree. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice of the four angels to whom it was granted harm to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So no matter how hard things might get, no matter how much we may struggle, God is going to save us. He is going to tell those angels, hold, 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 until we seal every one of the saints. He's protecting us. He's sending the angels to protect us. He's sending the angels to seal us. He's sending the angels. Friends, those who are for us are greater than those who are against us. There's going to be a time of trouble such as never has been before. So devastating that it will need to be cut short in order that not all will be destroyed. We're not there yet, but it will come. There'll be false Christs. Don't be deceived. Because when the end comes, it will be as the lightning cometh from the east and shineth into the west. Yes, what a joy that's going to be when we see that happen. When we see that lightning flashing and we look there and we see, wow, it's here, it's coming. The birth is taking place. There is going to be full of excitement, just like my first child. Oh, I was excited about all of them, but there's something about that first one that it's the first time you get that excited. And when we see Jesus, when those birth pains are over and we look up, I'm going to tell you, friends, it's going to be an exciting, exciting time. What joy there will be. What a celebration there will be. Birth pains will be over. Jesus is coming. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to go through and just reveal things that you already know, but just kind of remind us about Jesus coming. Let's take a look at some of the texts. that we have shared. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Friends, that's exciting. I mean, can you picture yourself right now? If Jesus were to come in our day, we'd see him and we'd be just lifted up. But if we pass away, like some of us probably will, that grave's going to open up. That grave's going to open up, and we're going to come up, and we'll just be caught up in the air. Wow! This is going to be so exciting. Now, one thing I want to point out here, it's very interesting to me. You notice I have highlighted the words caught up. Some Christians, unfortunately, have taken that Hebrew word, caught up, which also can be translated rapture. And then they've taken the rapture, and they just totally misapplied what scriptures are saying. Now, there's no such thing as a secret rapture. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word raptio is only found right here in this text. And there sure isn't anything in this text secret. There's a lot of noise taking place. Trumpets are sounding, blasting, and we're caught up. Nothing secret about this. When Jesus comes, let you know, we're all going to know it. There's not going to be any questions when he comes. And continuing, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Friends, that's exciting. What excitement, what joy, what celebration that is going to be. You know, at first we may be caught up in the awe and saying, whoa, but oh man, then the Spirit of God comes upon us. And friends, you're going to celebrate like you've never celebrated in your life. It's going to be absolutely incredible. Here's another one. It's real. It's exciting. It's an event after the birth pains, but it's going to be exciting. The rapture is his coming soon. Coming soon. So the coming Christ will not be a secret. The manner of his coming is revealed in his word. And I want to share with you 7 facts. This is kind of a review for a lot of you. 7 facts that I want to remind you about the second coming. All these facts come from the Word of God, the Scriptures themselves. So fact number 1, Christ's coming will be a literal event. It's a literal event. It's actually going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4:6, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord himself will descend from heaven. The same Jesus who is taken up from you from heaven into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The disciples saw him go into heaven. They physically saw him rise up and leave and go into heaven. And they're standing there gawking. They're just gawking at this scene. And the angel says, hey, what are you doing? You got work to do. You know? That same Jesus, it just says in Thessalonians, is going to come back in an act. It's going to come back just the way we saw him go. Okay? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Number 2, Christ's coming will be a personal event. Will be a personal event. Let not your heart be troubled. John 14:1. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Yeah. You're going to get a mansion. Ha! What do you think of that? Verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, and where I am, you will be also. We're going to be with Jesus, friends. He's not only going to come and take us home, we're going to be with him. Continuously with him. Number 3, Christ's coming will be a visible event. It will be visible. Okay? Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and Every eye will see him. How many eyes will see him? Every eye will see him. Even they who pierced him. So there's going to be a little special resurrection of those who destroyed Jesus when he's here on earth, and they're going to see him too. This is not the big resurrection at the end, but this they're going to see him. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. And the scripture says, if he's in the desert, don't go there. If he's over here, don't go for it. Because when he comes, no doubts, everybody will see him. Continue on, for as a light comes from the east, flashes in the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, you've seen lightning, and when you see it, everybody sees it. And that's the way it will be when Jesus comes. Number four, Christ's coming will be an audible event. Audible, are you kidding me? Yeah. For the Lord himself to descend from heaven with a what? A shout. Friends, this is going to be a noisy event. There's going to be no secret. There's going to be no quietness. There's going to be no hush-hush. There's going to be no shh. This is going to be noisy. Noisy. He's coming to shout with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. Wow. Noisy. Really noisy. In 2 Peter 3:10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with what? A great noise. Let me get a little moisture here. Number five. Christ's coming will be a dramatic event. A dramatic event, yeah. I believe it. So what does it say? Matthew 24:30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn. What's it talking about? It's talking about those who never accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. What a sad day is that going to be? You stop and think about it. When they see Jesus come, because all eyes are going to see him, they're going to realize the decision they made was the wrong decision. They have been given every chance, and now they're going to see it, and they're going to mourn. They're going to mourn. All tribes. Nobody will be left out. Verse 30, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Can you imagine that? Friends, connect with Jesus. Don't be with those that mourn, but be with those that rejoice. Revelation 6:14. Then the sky rescinded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved out of this place. I had to just laugh at that text a little bit. I mean, this is quite a traumatic event. You stop and think about the mountains moving. You know, we live here around Medford area, and these mountains start moving on us. It's going to be quite an event to watch that happen. And I've always said to my friends, I do not want to live on an island. Now, I do not want to. I spent some time in Hawaii doing a lot of training. Was there for several weeks, held evangelistic meetings, and I was really glad to leave. Now, Hawaii's a good place to visit, but I don't want to be there when the Lord comes. Because, well, he'll catch me up before the island disappears. But anyway, islands disappearing. Just, this is a dramatic event. This is noisy. This is exciting. This is dramatic. I mean, this is real. I mean, this whole earth is going to be an upheaval. It's going to be, it's incredible. Let's look at another one. Then there will be noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Friends, I think that I'm going to be glad, and you too, that we're being raised up. Because this earth is going to be a mess. Earthquakes, mountains moving, islands disappearing. I don't want my feet on this earth. This thing is falling apart. This thing is falling apart. Jesus coming is dramatic. It's incredible what's going to take place. And verse 18, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Did you catch that? You know, we're thinking about the Andreessen Fault, I think it's called, around San Francisco, and just wiping out San Francisco. And this, we talk about this huge earthquake that's coming somewhere down the line. We're gonna be devastated. Well, friends, let me tell you something. That's nothing. This earthquake is something. And I don't want to be on the other side, standing on this earth, mourning. I want to be lifted up into the clouds of glory when Jesus comes. This is a dramatic. Number six. Christ's coming will be a climatic event. Wow, you telling me? I think we've already seen all that, but let's take a look. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Wow. A thief in the night, because he's coming quickly. He's coming soon. There's it's just going to happen. And when it happens, the heavens are going to pass away, and there's going to be a great noise, just like I did hit the mic. Okay. It's verse 10. And the elements will melt and with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Wow. The mountains are going to move. The lions are going to disappear. It's a humongous earthquake like it's never been experienced before. And now the earth is turning into a hot pot of flames, with the elements all missing. Well, that computer is acting up on us. Let me go ahead. We're almost done here. If we don't see the slides, just kind of remember. It continues 3. Oh, good. 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. A great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, both in the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Burned up. And then 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will rise incorruptible and shall be changed. So the live will be changed. The dead will rise up and be changed. And I have to go back, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I hadn't looked at our years of pictures in our album for years. I haven't looked at those pictures. And that first slide you saw of my wife and my standing there, I'm looking at that this last week for the first time for years, and I'm just staring at it, and I'm saying, man, we were young. We were really young. And not that I don't love and think my wife isn't beautiful, but man, she was gorgeous back there. It's just incredible. And we will be changed. I told my wife the other day, I said, can you believe it? When Jesus comes, we'll be changed. We'll look like we used to look. Maybe even better. All of us. I mean, this is boggling, exciting. Jesus is coming and we're going to be changed. Okay. For this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Friends, that's exciting. We will no longer ever see or hear about death. We will put on immortality. God is going to give us immortality. We will live forever in heaven and earth. What a joy that's going to be. What excitement that is. Revelation 26 says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. You see, we're escaping the second death. which if we did more studies, as you know, we at the end of 1,000 years, we another resurrection, that second death would take wipe out all sin, all sinners who never accepted Jesus Christ. That's the second death. We will not experience that second death. It will have no power on us. Because that's the death that Jesus died for each and every one of us on the cross. Was that death. And the last one, number 7. Christ's coming will be a joyous event. Well, I think we've already covered that. But anyway, let's take a look at some scriptures. We are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. Death will be gone. Will we miss some things? Yes. Probably some people we know, loved ones we know, that decided not to accept Jesus. And that's going to hurt, but God will take that pain away from us. God will wipe, he says, away the tears from our face. Isaiah 25, verse 9, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Praise God. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. When Christ comes, there's only be two kinds of people. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ and those who rejected him. Those who will be saved and those who will be lost. We are now experiencing the birth pains. That should actually bring joy to us. We should not be mourning the fact of what we're going through right now, because these birth pains will get more intense, will come more frequently, because Jesus is coming soon. I believe it. And my question is, are you standing firm in the faith? Remember, we're to stand firm in the faith no matter what. Have you made a decision to choose God every day? Every day to walk with him? Because now is the time if you haven't. These birth pains, these things that are taking place in this earth today are warnings to us that Jesus is coming soon. We need to accept with him. We need to walk with him. It's a wake-up call for all of us. It's a wake-up call. And if we wait too long, the time will come when it'll be too late. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Think about it. Are we holding fast? Are you ready for this great event? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am coming quickly. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Father God, what a glorious event that's going to be. Help us to to hold fast, to stand firm during these times of crises. Help us to hang on to Jesus' hands as never before. Help us to walk with him uprightly, to encourage, to grow one another. And help us, Father, to be ready for this great birth that's going to take place. Your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Have a beautiful Sabbath afternoon.